So I came across a tree planting method called Miyawaki. It's a Japanese technique. A Japanese technique of tree plantation which will give you a 100-year-old like forest in just 10 years. That means the sapling will grow 10 times fast. The area is 30 times more dense as compared to a traditional forest, which means 30 times more benefits. So now if you look at cities which are converting into concrete jungles, even if you have a small area with you, you can get 30 times more benefit from that small area.
Oh yes, so we are going to talk about planting more trees, or in other words, say trees on this episode. Hello and welcome to yet another episode of the Mission Shunya podcast. Well, the start of the year 2020 has been really tough. No matter where you are in the world, you are definitely facing some challenges in your daily lives. Yes, I can't miss mentioning the impact of the spread of coronavirus around the world. Well, for a long time, and maybe just for the first and last time in our lifetime, we will be seeing this moment. The entire world is united against one cause: to fight this deadly virus. So, just a request, take a moment to think of the people in the front lines who are helping us to get over this. All the people who are working overtime to ensure we win the battle against this. We will definitely get over this. But, as always, there are interesting stories from around the world, stories that will make you feel good on any day. And on this episode, you'll hear one such story. So, let's dive into this week's episode. Tree plantation is something that you would think is a passion project for anyone who wants to contribute to build a green environment. But have you heard of an organization that runs to plant more trees? Here's the story of one such organization for you.
Saytree started back in 2007. And this happened when I felt that Bangalore is turning into one of the cities in northern India which are, you know, populated and they are very hot during summer.
That's Kapil Sharma, founder of Sage Trees. So let's begin by listening in to his story of why he wanted to plant more trees and how he actually started Sage Trees.
When I moved to Bangalore in 2001, I felt that I am in heaven because I had never seen a city which has so many trees. A city where roads are fully covered with trees. It used to rain during summer season. I used to call my home during summer and I used to tell them that it's raining. Whereas my parents used to say that the temperature is 46, 47 degrees. So I felt that Bangalore never had a summer season. So I passed out from my engineering in 2005. And that is when I started my job. And I had to travel from one end of the city to the other end of the city for my job. And during this time, I used to see that many, many trees were being brought down. These were because of, you know, multiple development projects which started happening all across the city. Whether it was road widening or it was, you know, metro construction, trees were being just brought down left, right and center. You know, looking at these huge trees being brought down, you know, trees which was there yesterday and today when I'm crossing that same path, I don't see the tree there. These things used to, you know, I used to feel very bad about them. I used to feel why a tree which was there yesterday is not there today. So all these things, I hurt me bad. And I thought that I should do something. The only thing I used to feel was if I don't do something now, Bangalore will also be like any other cities which are, you know, polluted and are very heated up during summer. So that is when I started visiting BBMP offices, the government offices, the forest department offices, to find out about what can be done. What can I do as a citizen? What can I do to make sure that at least there is something being done? Okay, the government is also trying a lot of things. But as an individual, I wanted to do something. So I started visiting the government offices. I started talking to them, finding out what can be done. The only thing I could figure out after all these talks were that, you know, there are still many, many places within the city where green cover can be increased. Roadside plantations are one which we see, but still there are many, many places which can be made green. For example, school campuses, hospital campuses, you know, we have army areas, we have lakes. There are endless possibilities. So this is how it all started. I thought that, okay, let me, even though trees are being brought down along the roadside, there are many places which are far away from the roads, and I'm sure they will not be, you know, they will not be touched in future. So this is how it started. I started planting few trees back in 2007. Then I planted few trees in 2008. When I was doing this, I felt that, you know, if I go at this speed, you know, I'll not be able to bring a big change, because the trees were being brought down at an even bigger pace.
True.
The number of trees planted should be at least 10 times more than the number of trees which are being brought down.
True.
Because these trees which you are bringing down are like 100-year-old tree. If you plant a tree now, you will not be able to reap the benefit at least 20 or 30 years from now.
True.
So the number of trees which have to be planted should be 10 times more.
Correct.
So I thought, if I just, because I'm a software engineer, okay, I have a job from Monday to Friday. The only days I used to get was Saturday and Sunday. So I had to make sure that I fully utilize these 2 days of my weekend and do something for the green cover of the city.
That's really wonderful. I mean, having an intrinsic motivation and seeing something like this and acting on it is something not everyone will do, because I can totally relate to what you are saying, is because I'm growing up in Bangalore in the 90s and early 2000s, I clearly could see the difference in how the tree cover would just vanish. I know, I still remember that there were buses, double-decker buses that would ply on the cities, and you could actually feel the tree cover as a canopy to the buses. So all that kind of disappeared, and it feels really sad when you see this. But for someone who's come to Bangalore and then seeing this change, you did act on it. So that's a laudable effort. So how did you go about scaling up this work? You started on the weekends, and how did you scale it up?
Yeah. So since it was a weekend activity initially, you know, I felt that it is not enough to, you know, to see the change which I really want to see. Only weekend activities and few saplings here and there and few saplings every month are not going to help. I felt that it has to be scaled up. Instead of few saplings, it has to be few hundred saplings or few thousand saplings over weekends. So I started reaching out to various corporates. I started reaching out and I started asking them, why don't you help us in planting trees? Because those were the days when corporate used to take out their employees for quarterly lunches and things like that. I started asking them, instead of a lunch, why don't you come and plant trees with your employees? It also becomes a weekend activity for the corporate. So few corporates liked the idea. They started bringing their employees to plant trees over weekends. Okay, this also became a group activity for the employees, a team building activity for the employees. So it started with that, and slowly I reached out to many other groups, like the photography group or the cycling group, because I wanted people in groups to come. Okay, I wanted more and more people to participate in these events. Few years went away like this. And then after 2-3 years, I started, you know, publishing the results of everything which was done in past 2-3 years.
Mm.
The results were amazing, because we were regularly taking care of the saplings. For me, it has been, it has been quality over quantity.
Nice.
I have not just gone and randomly planted saplings left, right and center. It was not like that. I make sure that we very clearly choose a location. We choose a location where we feel saplings will grow. Okay, we choose a location where we feel we can take care of the saplings. So, you know, that is why we started planting less saplings, but made sure they grow.
So how did you decide the places? How did you decide the kind of saplings that you choose? And how did you go about this? Because for someone with your background, how did you get a hold of this? And how did you decide on the places? Again, I'm sure all this was continuing to be your weekend activity, but at a bigger scale. How did you manage that?
Yes. So since I was meeting various forest officials, slowly I was getting to know about the saplings, the native saplings, which are native to Karnataka. I started to get to know about, you know, what is needed, what will be needed next summer when I plant these saplings in monsoon. So all these facts were helping me to identify a place. For example, a place which is open, which has no fence, and if I plant saplings there, there are high chances that within 1 week, the saplings will be eaten away by cattle.
Correct.
If I plant sapling in location and if there is no water supply nearby, I will not be able to water the sapling during summer. So I started considering all these facts before choosing a location. I used to think, how will I be able to water these saplings during summer? And how will I be able to protect these saplings on a daily basis from cattle? So all these things used to be, you know, thought about before choosing a location.
That's a novel way of doing things. And at this point, I mean, how did you get the people on board? I'm sure choosing multiple locations and then going back to water the plants, and how did you manage or how did you set up the logistics for all these activities to be taken care after? Because as you rightly said, you can plant a sapling, but unless it is kind of nurtured, it is of no use.
Yes.
So how did you ensure that the logistics were in place so that it could be nurtured?
Correct. So basically what we used to do was, after planting the sapling every weekend, you know, I used to go and water the sapling and post the pictures online. Slowly, you know, these things connected me to many like-minded people in social media. They started joining me over weekends. From 2 people, it became 4 people, to 8 people, to 10 people. And slowly that started growing. And I made sure that I fully utilized the social media to spread the message across. That in turn, you know, helped me to reach out to many other organizations who liked what is being done, who liked the output, okay, who liked the outcome. They liked how an area which was not having any trees are having a lot of grown up trees now. So this is how, you know, slowly small organizations started connecting to me, and we started doing little more tree plantations with them. And this continued till 2014. Okay, and in 2014, I realized that now I cannot do anything alone, because social media started to peak up. More and more people were active in social media, and our work started reaching out to multiple cities. So in 2014, I decided that now is the time that I have to add team members. I have to have full-time people working in say trees, and their only job is to plant trees and take care of them. So that is how it all started. In 2014 is when I, you know, it took me about 7 years. I was doing it for 7 years on my own. But in 2014, it was impossible to work alone. So I started hiring team members. Okay. I started adding more team members.
It's a perfect example of how we have scaled up the operations. And that's something that I believe you took from the corporate life as well, that it's good to scale up early, scale up big, and scale up with the right set of resources. And in this case, you need like-minded people who were enthusiastic and also believed in your vision of planting more trees. Before we go into other kind of activities and projects you do, I just want you to talk about the particular way of planting trees. You have a name for it. Would you like to describe that? And how did you decide on that type of tree plantation and creating forest of that kind?
Sure. So, you know, being a software engineer, I always made sure that I try out new things. I never treat say trees as a traditional NGO. I feel that we are a startup. We are very aggressive, and we go out and try to do new things to make even bigger impact. Because I feel that the time we have is very less. That means our efforts have to be exponential. The results have to be exponential. So I always keep looking for different things which can give us better results and which can even improve our performance, which can improve the result of our efforts. So I came across a tree planting method called Miyawaki. It's a Japanese technique. Okay. A Japanese technique of tree plantation, which will give you a 100-year-old like forest in just 10 years. That means the sapling will grow 10 times fast. The area is 30 times more dense as compared to a traditional forest, which means 30 times more benefits. So now if you look at cities which are converting into concrete jungles, even if you have a small area with you, you can get 30 times more benefit from that small area. So I felt that this is the right thing for cities, where cities, the space is very less, but we still need, you know, we still need pure air. We need water in the ground, right?
True.
For cities which have very less space remaining, Miyawaki technique sounds like the perfect thing, because it is giving us 30 times more benefit in a given area. So So instead of having a 30-acre land, you can just have a 1-acre land in the city and, you know, get the benefit of a 30-acre land.
Hmm.
So we started experimenting this in 2016. I knew about Miyawaki Forest in 2010. But it took me 6 years to properly analyze it and then jump into it. So we did our first Miyawaki Forest of 2000 sapling in 2016. We started taking care of the forest, and within 6 months, we saw something which we have never seen. The growth of these saplings were exceptional. I still remember the day I shared a 6-month photo online. People were crazy about it. It has grown so, so much. And now if you go and see that Miyawaki Forest, you will be shocked that how can a 3-year-old forest look like this. So the success of our first forest led us to make another forest and another forest, and that went on. And by now, we have created more than 25 Miyawaki forests, not only in Bangalore, but in Mumbai, in Satara, in Chennai, in Hyderabad, in Delhi, in Noida. We have created these forests in many, many more places now.
That's phenomenal, Kapil. Because getting ramped up at this pace in like 4 years is a phenomenal achievement. So what is the science behind this? Did you get any experts on board, or are your team members competent enough to understand this? Or is it a simple method that anyone can pick up but just needs to follow some basic rules? Is it something like that?
It's not rocket science. It's a very simple method. We just need to follow the rules. Okay. And these rules have been set up by experimenting this for many, many years.
Hmm.
So there have been many people, you know, who wants to just add their knowledge into this, which is fine. I'm not saying that it will be wrong.
Hmm.
But if the wheel is already there, we don't have to reinvent it.
Rightly said.
We just have to follow the proper, you know, technical specification which the method brings along with it. And then, you know, as I said, tree plantation is just the first step.
Hmm.
The maximum efforts are needed for maintenance. If you feel you have 2 to 3 years with you and you can focus on taking care of this forest, then it will be successful. Because planting, you know, following the technique and just creating the forest is not enough. After that, you need to have patience for next 2 or 2.5 years to see the results. So many times people just plant it and then they leave it.
Hmm.
They don't think about how will we take care of this forest after plantation. Because it's not just one day. Plantation just is done in one day. But then you take care of this forest for next 2 to 3 years.
At this point, I mean, the very mention of the word forest would probably trigger something in the listener's mind. What is the area that we are talking about? I mean, at one point you also mentioned about urban centers, but what kind of area are these spaces typically on an average?
So we have created these dense forests in as small area as 6,000 square meters to 4 acres and 5 acres. And it can be even more. We are doing some projects in North India where we are creating forests in 6 acres land. So it depends, you know, these are dense urban forests. So, you know, more effective for doing in small spaces.
Nice. And after you had this, say, trees rolling out and creating forest, you also got involved in other kind of projects. What was your motivation to get into other kind of projects like the water conservation projects, providing solar lamps and so on? Did you have interest from the team as well on this?
Yes. See, I have always been having a bucket list with me. And that bucket got items from real life experiences which I faced. For example, when I saw trees being brought down, trees came into my bucket list. When I was in Bangalore, I saw huge water shortage during summer. Water came into my bucket list. And, you know, whenever I see plastic being used, whenever I see, you know, even for a small item, you purchase one item, you use that, and within few minutes, you throw away 90% of what you purchased. In terms of whether it is packaging or it's anything. Even if you buy a water bottle, drink the water and then throw the bottle away.
Right.
So these things brought, you know, waste or plastic into my bucket list. Similarly, when I got to know that there are villages still now which have no street lights, solar came into my bucket list. So, you know, even though I had a long bucket list, but I only focused on trees for first 10 years. Because I wanted to make sure whatever we are doing is right. Then on the 10th year, we got an opportunity to work on a lake. And that happened because we were doing a tree plantation in another lake. So we have done tree plantation in more than 29 lakes in Bangalore.
Wow, that's phenomenal.
Yes.
I'm sure like a lot of people, even Bangaloreans, wouldn't recognize that those areas were lakes early on.
Correct.
So how did you get started with water conservation?
Correct. So we were creating a Miyawaki forest in one of the lake, which was very recently developed in 2017.
Hmm.
And it was developed by a gentleman called Anand Malligavad, who is now called the Lake Man of Bangalore. When we saw his work being done, I was so inspired by him that I felt that if one person can do a lake rejuvenation, I can also do it. That's when the second item in my bucket list got triggered, and I thought, okay, it's time that I should also start working on water. That is when I joined hand with Anand, and we rejuvenated our first lake. Once that lake was done, we rejuvenated another lake and another, and now that also is going on. We are rejuvenating two lakes as of now, as we talk. So that is also growing. We also rejuvenated a few percolation ponds in Tamil Nadu. We have rejuvenated now lakes in Noida. The result of a good work is more work, right?
True.
So once we started doing these things, we started getting more and more work.
So how have you scaled up in recent years? I mean, now the project sizes are big and a lot of projects. So how have you scaled up in recent years? How have you kept pace with the amount of projects? And you have also expanded in multiple cities across India. So how do you get things going at this point?
Yes. So, it started with one employee in 2014. We are now more than 20 employees. And in the next 6 months, we'll be adding even more people to our team in different cities. And all these people are just planting trees or creating forests or taking care of water bodies. So yes, as and when the projects are growing, more and more team members are being added.
That's good to know, Kapil. So in terms of the funding from corporates, early on it was corporates. Now, how do you run the show with all these activities? Do the corporate show similar kind of interest in all these projects, or do you have other channels through which you undertake all those activities?
No, all the funding which we receive are from corporates. Our corporates are the one who support us, and because of this support, we are able to do so much.
That's really wonderful. So we have spoken about all the projects that you have done so far and how they all were initiated. And you did mention that you have a long bucket list. So what's next on your bucket list and where do you plan to launch it?
Yeah, the next item in my bucket list is waste. Okay, because that is something which is hurting me every day. On a day-to-day basis, I see that so much of waste is getting generated. Just from my house, if I see so much of waste get generated, I cannot imagine if we multiply it by number of people on earth, the kind of waste we are generating on a daily basis. And waste is something which will hit us very hard in future. Okay, because it is something which we will not be able to control.
True.
So working on waste, working on plastic is something next on my bucket list. And hopefully, I'll be able to do something. I'll be able to bring some impact to it.
That's phenomenal, Kapil. I'm sure with the kind of experience that you have in executing multiple projects, scaling them up across cities, across kind of different levels. I mean, I'm sure once you get into it, I'm sure you will find the right kind of people and the right kind of methodologies to get work done. So, I mean, the podcast channel goes to a wider audience and a lot of people generally are really interested to contribute to these kind of activities, or other way around, people would want to take the approach that you have done, say something with the Miyawaki forest and implement it in some part of the world. So how do they get in touch with you, or how can they contribute to the cause?
So people can anytime contribute through our website. If they want to know about something, they can reach out to us. They can send us a mail at info@saytrees.org. And there are different ways in which people can contribute. Okay, people can do monetary contribution. People can also come and volunteering for our tree plantation drives. Okay, that is a very big contribution which we look for. People can also show us places near to their houses or their locations where we can do tree plantation. That is another contribution. Okay, people can help us reach out to government agencies or even to corporates. Okay, that is another contribution. So contribution cannot only be monetary. people can just help us in many, many ways they can. People can help us in designing posters. People can help us in making videos, right? People can help us in bringing groups. There was a resident group recently who wanted to create forest in their layout. We planted 12,000 saplings in that layout, which is about 275 saplings per individual in that layout. You can imagine this will not be there anywhere, right? So there are different kind of contributions that people can do, and it is not limited to just money. It can be anything.
That's perfectly said. Well said. I'm sure people who are listening to this will probably reach out to you, and most of them actually tend to volunteer on projects like this. That's happened in the past with other activities also that I featured on the show. So I will definitely put out the links to the website saytrees.org, or you can write to Kapil at info@saytrees.org. So I'll put this in the show notes. So Kapil, is there any other final notes that you'd like to share?
I would just like to share that, you know, United Nations has given us 10 years to limit our temperature increase of the earth. And they have very clearly stated that if that is not done, we will see catastrophic results. So I feel that, you know, whatever we have done can only be controlled if our efforts are exponential. With just normal efforts, we'll not be able to revert back whatever has happened in last 20, 30 years. Okay, our efforts have to be exponential, and we just have next 10 years to, you know, bring things to normal level. Whether it is trees, whether it is water, whether it is waste, we have to bring a change in our lifestyle. We have to give importance to these natural resources. We cannot just exploit them. We cannot overuse them. So I just want to tell all the listeners, you know, please make sure that we are not wasting water. We are not wasting resources. Let's not use plastic. Let's try to use as less plastics as we can. This is the only thing, you know, I just want people to be responsible for what is happening.
Perfectly well said. I couldn't have said it better. So make sure that you are aware of what's happening around you, and make sure the impact from your activities are minimum. So Kapil, it has been an absolute pleasure. And I mean, the kind of activities that you've taken up are really phenomenal, the way you scaled it up. People generally, a lot of people kind of see problems, take up the activity and take it to a level, but they don't scale it up like the way you have done and across multiple projects. So it's a phenomenal story. Wishing Saytrees a long success ahead. So thanks for taking time and sharing the story.
Thank you so much.
And yes, that was the story of how Kapil Sharma started Saytrees and runs the other programs under his organization. After launching multiple projects in India, Saytrees is now looking to expand internationally. So if you are interested, do drop a message to info@saytrees.org. No matter where you are in the world, if you have an idea and if you want to collaborate, Kapil will definitely be happy to listen. You can also easily connect with them on Facebook or Twitter. Just search for Saytrees. While you are at that, do also check the Mission Shunya pages on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. The handle is @MissionShunya. And now on to this week's action item towards Mission Shunya. Well, ideally I would have recommended you to plant a sapling or at least contribute to the cause after listening to this week's episode. But at this point, there is an even bigger contribution we can all make. That is to stay indoors. Stay indoors, stay at home in support of the global fight against coronavirus. The coronavirus spread is going to be the biggest story of our lifetime. Let's do our bit and act responsibly. Once we are past this in a few months' time, we can definitely go out and make a difference by planting more trees. And while you are indoors, follow stories on the Mission Shunya podcast. You can also follow stories on the social media channels of Mission Shunya. And if you have always been thinking to share your feedback, this is probably the right time. You can write to me, missionchunia@gmail.com. You can also share the podcast to a friend, colleague, and start a conversation on sustainability with them. So with that, signing off, this is Girish Shivakumar, and thank you for listening.